The Glory of God, Part 2. In Part 1 of this study, we discovered how we can experience something of God's glory by being in God's presence and what effect it has on our character. We will now see how, having experienced God's glory for ourselves, to see how it can affect our Christian walk and how through it we can bring blessing to others, like Moses discovered, having spent time in God's presence. Let us now see what happened to Moses after asking God to see his glory. We read in this next chapter, Exodus 34:1-7. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up to Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me on the top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere in the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning, and as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." Then we read on down in the chapter, verses 29-35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron or all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went and spoke to the Lord. The very obvious question we ask ourselves is, why did Moses' face shine? Why was Moses' face so radiant? Let me take you into the New Testament, where one of the apostles named Stephen, after boldly giving an account to the leaders at the time of who Jesus was, and was about to be martyred for his faith. We read this in Acts 6:8-15. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue and of the freemen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Sicily and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to them." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then after Stephen had witnessed to the Sanhedrin, we read in the next chapter, Acts 7, 54-60, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coat at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Let me now illustrate what Moses and Stephen had experienced. The temple in Jerusalem was hewn out of a yellow type of sandstone. The pavements in Jerusalem were also hewn out of the same stone. During the day, the hot, intense sun would shine on the stone pavements, and when the sun set, the stones would continue to glow for a while. The stones had retained the light from the sun. If you ever own one of the old TV sets that has the cathode ray tube, you may have noticed they also will glow for a while when first switched off. Again, the energy of light would still be retained in the cathode tube. If you were to spend time outside in the cold and then return into the house and stand by an open fire for a short while, you will soon feel the warmth it gives off as it penetrates your body. You will feel the benefit and comfort inside. When you go back outside, you are then able to retain that heat for a while. We read that Moses was called by God up into the mountain, where he spent 40 days in God's presence receiving the Ten Commandments. Moses was speaking to the one who is the light of the world. Moses was not aware of what was happening. He would be absorbing something of the nature and glory of God, so that when he returned to meet the people, his face shone, having absorbed and retained something of God's divine nature. We notice that Stephen's face shone like that of an angel while he was sharing about Jesus to the Sanhedrin leaders. Stephen's heart was aglow as he courageously and boldly spoke about the wonderful God he worshipped. He was filled with the beauty of Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit would be glowing in his heart. It emanated out of him through his voice. It glowed through his skin. Like Moses, Stephen would only have this strength and energy by spending time in God's presence. Are we getting the picture? Are we getting excited by what we're hearing? Do we see what we can experience when we spend time with the Lord, reading his word, the Bible, singing those wonderful songs of worship, praying, exercising the gifts he has given us, spending time talking about the Lord with fellow Christians? And like Stephen, when someone asks about our faith or challenges our faith, we glow with a spiritual excitement because we want to share the good and wonderful things God has done in our life and what he can do for them. During my youth, we used to sing a lovely song, which is on YouTube, which you can sing as a prayer. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All is wonderful passion and purity. O my Saviour divine, all my being refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. You can also respond to the words of another lovely song which says, Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Love of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Let us reflect on what happened when Moses came down from the mountain, from being in God's presence, when his face shone. When Stephen stood and defended his faith to the Sanhedrin, just before he was about to be transported into God's presence, we read, Acts 6:15, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Likewise, when we spend time in his presence, we too will glow with the glory of God. We will also radiate God's presence. By spending time in God's presence, whatever form it may take, we will become open-hearted like the disciple John, who yearned to know more about Jesus. As John opened himself up to Jesus, Jesus was able to impart to John all the wonderful mysteries of who God is and the way God wants to be part of our lives, guiding and helping us on our pilgrimage. We will be amazed how folk will sense God in us. They will see an openness in our hearts. We will find them opening themselves up to us, giving us the opportunity to speak about God's glory and to share God's love with them, pointing them to the Saviour. Every day, every person in this planet can see the splendour of God's glory. It is all around us in creation. David reminds us in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard for them. Every day we can wake up and see God's glory in nature all around us. How often can we wake up to a blue sky and before we go to sleep with the clouds, it's in resplendent red. As someone said, God had his paintbrush out again, and he paints glorious, colourful cloud formations in the sky. In our study together so far, we have seen how we can experience and know God's glory, which is through the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. It may not be face to face, but we can experience being in God's presence and know his glory in measure. As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part. Then we shall know fully, even as we are fully known. We can display God's glory outwardly in our day-to-day living to those folk we come in contact with. I want to take you back to Luke 2:20, soon after the shepherds had been visited by the angels after being told Jesus had been born. It reads, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. The shepherds, having experienced the glory of God through the presence of the angels, were so excited by seeing the baby Jesus, the Messiah. You would see by their countenance they were displaying God's glory and knew it came from their hearts because they were so eager to tell everyone what they had seen and heard. David wrote in Psalm 63 verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. And again in Psalm 69:30 he says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. When telling everyone about God's goodness, we will be glorifying God. We will be glorifying God when we sing praise and worship to him. Now let us turn to John 11, 1-5, which says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When they heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Notice, Jesus did not go immediately to Lazarus to heal him while he was still alive. He waited 2 more days, during which time Lazarus died. Lazarus' sisters were very upset because Jesus did not visit them as soon as he knew Lazarus was sick. Why, we may ask? John 11 verse 4 reads, "No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus wanted to display his power over death. In so doing, he would display God's glory. Just before Jesus was crucified, he gathered the disciples into the upper room to celebrate the Passover. During their time together, Jesus prayed for them all, handing them over into his Father's care. In John 17:1, Jesus said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Jesus was about to display his Father's glory. Jesus was about to be crucified, but in so doing defeat the power of sin by raising his Son from the dead, making a way for all mankind who will accept his gift of eternal life to one day living with him in the glory of heaven for eternity. Jesus made a request to all his followers by saying in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." One day, we as God's children will see Jesus face to face and be able to see his glory in all its splendor. John saw a measure of Jesus in all his glory in the vision he had in Revelation 1:12. John says, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man." In his Gospel, John referred to Jesus as the Son of Man. Among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he had 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. In the vision, John was taken up into heaven and saw the holy city. He says in Revelation 21:10-11, "And he, the angel of God, carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal." John continues to say in Revelation 21:23-24, "The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their splendor into it." In the meantime, while we wait to enter in that glorious heavenly kingdom, as we continue to seek to serve God, displaying God's glory on earth, we can be reassured by what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory," or transformed from glory to glory, as the King James Version says, "which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I cannot finish without sharing the wonderful words of another beautiful hymn, which reads, "Face to face with Christ my Saviour, face to face, what will it be, when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry skies, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Only faintly now I see him, with a darkening veil between, but a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in his presence, when are banished grief and pain, when the crooked ways are straightened, and the dark things shall be plain. Face to face, O blissful moment, face to face, to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry skies. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. I want to close by blessing you with a blessing that God pronounced on Aaron and his sons in Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.